What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're talking with Jace Duke today as we're highlighting just listeners to the podcast. Jace has been on a couple times. One time that really I learned a couple new things was when he was talking about the rodeo. So it's fun to see how the progression of athletic trainers in rodeo has occurred. And if you're in the Houston area, then he's definitely the person to talk to. Or if you want to do rodeo in your area, then he could probably point you in the right direction, at least give you some points and pointers and tips. But he also works for Houston Methodist Hospital. Without much further ado, Jace, this story is about you today. Why don't you go and tell me, how many years have you been in the profession of athletic training?
I started in 2002, as a professional, but, you know, I feel like I've been doing it forever, working as a student athletic trainer in middle school and high school growing up, and seems like I've never done anything different.
All right, so tell me a little bit more about that. Where did you go to middle school that you're able to do athletic training?
Well, I went to a small school in East Texas called Ore City, O-R-E. It was a 2A school back then. We had 50 kids in my graduating class, so we were pretty small, obviously, and didn't have an athletic trainer on campus. We had some outreach guys that would come by every couple of weeks, and just had an opportunity, had a coach that was, you know, basically our injury coach, that said, you know, hey, I need some help, and look my direction, and I started doing it and fell in love with it, and like I say, been doing it ever since.
All right, so you said you went to Ore City Middle School, high school, and then what about college?
I went to East Texas Baptist University in Marshall, which was great. We had at the time we were going through, we were an internship program going through the accreditation process. So it was neat to see how our program kind of matured and changed. After I graduated, basically all the stuff that we had done my senior year was working towards it becoming an accredited program, which it is, today.
Gotcha. All right, so East Texas Baptist University, and then what was after that?
Well, after that, I went to work at Hardin-Jefferson ISD in Sour Lake, Texas. It was a 3A school at the time. It's obviously 4 now. Was the only athletic trainer, in the district. Was there for 3 years. After that, I left there and went to work in Baytown at Ross S. Sterling High School. I was there for 2 years and had the opportunity to get into doing outreach in the hospital setting. And I went to work for Memorial Hermann for a year, and I've been with Houston Methodist since.
Gotcha. All right, so in your years as an athletic trainer, tell me about the worst injury that you feel like you've dealt with.
It's funny that, that's always the question that we get. And I think that it's the hardest thing that we have to answer, because, what's worse, a gross looking, deformity of a joint, something that's just, gushing with blood, or is it something that ends a kid's career or, their potential to continue to play that year. So, as far as, gross, nasty looking things, I've had handfuls of, ankle dislocations. Those are always fun, that look, nasty with the foot turned around backwards. I had a kid at Baytown that decided he wanted to drop his dumbbells on his index finger, and part of his finger flew across the weight room.
Ooh.
So it split like a grape. So that was always fun. The funny thing about that story, his parents weren't worried about his athletic career. They were asking if he could still play his trumpet, afterwards. So that I always thought that was the first thing they asked. Will he be able to play his trumpet still? We were like, it'll take him a while, but he'll get back. So, and then dealing with the rodeo, we see some mass trauma stuff. We've been lucky in Houston and the rodeos that I've covered that we've been safe, but nothing super bad, but we have had our share of, some fractures and, people being knocked unconscious, and then obviously some, people getting trampled and bleeding and things like that. But, I've been lucky. I've dealt with a couple of kids that, we suspected some spinal issues with, but, after getting them checked out, everything was cleared. So, I think that's always good.
All right, so tell me a little bit more of your athletic training story as far as rodeo. How'd you get there and go from there?
Well, you know, I'd always, you know, growing up in a small rural East Texas town, you know, it was something that we enjoyed going to and watching and doing, you know, on the weekends with the family. Whenever I had the opportunity to sign up to try to work some rodeos, I was put on a wait list, and the never materialized of being able to cover anything. And about 6 years ago, Rodeo Houston came to us at Houston Methodist and said, you know, we want to know if y'all can put together a staff of athletic trainers to cover the rodeo. And, you know, looked at it and said, yeah, of course, you know, we'd be happy to do that. You know, it sounds like a great opportunity. You know, when would y'all like to sit down and talk? And they said, well, the rodeo starts on Monday, and this was Thursday. So we put it together and been working ever since. You know, we've got a great group. We cover, like I say, Rodeo Houston every year with 45. I'll take that number back. We have about 120 different professionals, medical professionals that are there from different fields. We have about 45 contestants a night that come in, to have something done, one way or the other. And then, each one of those, we have about 11 different professionals represented each night, from athletic training to orthopedic surgeons to ER physicians, chiropractors, massage therapists. We actually have x-ray techs. We have primary care doctors there. I mean, we run the gamut of specialists that we have in the building each night. And, you know, so that's a large scale, full sports medicine team. We try to treat them just like the Texans or the Astros that we at Houston Methodist also are the official healthcare providers for. And, you know, try to take care of them in that manner as professional athletes. But we also cover some of our local rodeos that, you know, a lot of times it's a couple of athletic trainers and a physician. If we're lucky, they are covering those events too. So we stay pretty busy in the fall with rodeos back-to-back-to-back weekends, and then we'll do a couple during the summer.
Yeah, I know. I see when it's about rodeo time, people are, all right, well, I just left practice at 6 o'clock. Now I get to work the rodeo till midnight and come home and do it again. But, you know, it's kind of one thing, they sign up for it. So, but
yeah, it is totally volunteer, and it's you know, a lot of hours, a lot of hard work. But, you know, to see the you know, it's interesting for me, you know, being there for so many years now, to be able to see these athletes. Rodeo is a very family oriented sport, and, you know, you'll see families that come as, you know, husband and wife 1 year, the next year they come back and they have a little baby, and the next year, you know, it seems like the kid's 6 years old all of a sudden. So it's neat to see how their families grow and participate. And, you know, I've got a lot of them on Facebook that are friends of mine that, you know, it's interesting to watch their kids, besides just seeing them once a year now too.
Gotcha. Yep. So maybe one day I'll have to check it out. I don't know. I'm not a huge rodeo guy, but never know. Learn something new. All right, tell me about some of your most memorable moments as an athletic trainer.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, specific things. I've been blessed. I've had a great career so far of being able to meet a lot of great people and do a lot of different things. That's what's great about what we do now with our outreach positions at Houston Methodist is, you know, one day you could be covering a junior high, you know, track meet or a high school soccer tournament. The next day you could be, you know, I've covered Dancing with the Stars when they were on tour. We you know, I got to work that. I've done various, did the East-West Shrine Game when it was in Houston. I've done international women's rugby. I've done gymnastics events where I got to evaluate an athlete with an ankle fracture that was from the Ukraine, and we had a huge language gap. So that was an interesting thing to try to figure out how to evaluate somebody that spoke a different language that you didn't know and they didn't know yours. And Google Translate is an awesome tool, by the way, on your phone. So you know, being able to type it and hand it to them and then type back, and, you know, it was we got it all taken care of. But This is a relationship profession, and getting to know people, you know, not only from your athletes and the coaches that you work with, but their families to our fraternity of other athletic trainers. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I remember as a college student going to SWATA in Arlington and walking through there and seeing the board members and the various people walking around the professional symposiums and things like that. And, you know, looking at them thinking, wow, these people are, you know, they're really important. But after you get, you know, they treated us as students just like, you know, one of them. And, you know, today, you know, when I go there, it's ironic, I still see those faces. We have all got a little bit more gray, and some of them got a little bit less hair and different things. But, you know, it's nice to see them and be able to sit down and say, you know, look at these people and say, oh, yeah, your signature's on my license. And to be able to call them your friends and things like that. I think that's the cool part about this profession. There's a lot of us, but there's not a lot of us when you really start thinking about it. We're a small group. It's a tight network. You know, it's, you know, the joke, tell a friend, tell a phone, tell an athletic trainer, things get around pretty quick, you know, but it's just because we're that tight of a niche group.
All right. I never got to go to SWATA or anything like that when I was in a college student. So hopefully college students now are doing that. I know, like with the Masters of Athletic Training at U of H, that they encourage them to go to all those type things and conferences. So I think they're going to be better prepared, like that I wasn't, but.
Well, I think it's important. I mean, not only from a knowledge-based standpoint, but, you know, like I said, this business is a people business, and it's a networking business. You know, you always build relationships, and you never know when you need to, you know, may need to call on one of them, or you may, you know, get a business card from somebody at one of those events and be able to turn around, you know, 5 years from now and say, you know what, I'm moving to this part of the state or this part of the country. I met somebody that may know somebody that knows somebody that can get me a position somewhere, and, you know, or can give me, you know, heads up about a job. Hey, I'm applying for a job at, you know, X, Y, and Z, and find out about it before you go, because it may be the greatest job ever. It may not be, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, having somebody that, you know, that you've met, that you trust, I think is huge in any profession you have, but especially this one.
Jeez, did we lose you?
I'm still here. You got me?
Yeah.
Okay. Did y'all get any of that?
Yeah, it just cut off like right probably 5 seconds before I said that. I don't know if it cut off, okay. Or I think it just sounded like you're in the middle of a word and it stopped. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying how important networking is and being able to have those relationships, you know, that you can build at those those meetings and every opportunity you get as a student and even as a professional. I mean, it's very important to me to continue to build those relationships and have that rapport with people.
Yeah, I'm definitely learning that now, just getting to know people, the interactions and that kind of thing. So what's a life lesson you've learned over your career as an athletic trainer?
I think the biggest thing that you know, I hark on every day to people is, you know, be a professional. And, you know, there's so many things that, you know, go with that, being on time, you know, dressing appropriately, you know, carrying yourself the right way, you know, just, you know, getting the knowledge, going to continuing education events and actively participating in them and not just showing up to get your certificate, you know, and just being that professional that, you know, I think the biggest thing in our profession that, you know, I see people talking about is, you know, being, you know, not being respected by, you know, administrators or by parents or by athletes or their pay or whatever. Well, I know, you know, Chris Shattuck's been on your show, you know, talking about professionalism, and if we don't make ourselves professional and elevate what we do on a daily basis, then why would anybody else do it for us? And, you know, so little things like that can go a long way. I love the knowledge that our students are getting now that are coming out. I tell them every day that everyone that is graduating now is so much smarter than I am, I guarantee you. But, you know, professionalism also means being a hard worker, digging in and doing what's asked to be done, doing things before they're asked to be done. And being able to do that is huge. and like I say, it goes along with being a professional. You know, I would much rather have somebody that was not as knowledgeable, that may not possess all the great refined skills that you need to do this job, but is willing to work hard and to learn how to do those things, and be a professional. Give me those every day of the week.
All right. Now, that being said, what's one piece of advice you have for athletic trainers?
Kathy Schupak, I think, I don't know if she's on the show yesterday, so I thought I saw her name on there, but, you know, I don't want to steal any of her thunder, but she has a saying of find a mentor, be a mentor. And I think that's, you know, no matter where you are in your career or where you're at, that applies to everybody. You know, find somebody, you know, in this profession, outside this profession, that you can go to bounce ideas off of, talk to, de-stress, whatever you need to do, but also be that person for somebody else. You know, and it doesn't matter if they're older, they're younger, if you know, be a person for somebody that they can go to and be somebody that is willing to go to somebody for, you know, for that sounding board, for advice. You know, you don't always have to take it, but I think it's very important to have somebody to bounce some ideas off of.
Yeah, she was on here yesterday and said exactly that. Be a mentor, have a mentor. So
So I didn't steal her thunder. I just piggybacked on the back of it. So, but yeah, that's, you know, I'm lucky. I get to work with Kathy a lot now. And, you know, I've always thought she brought a lot to our profession. And, you know, that just, you know, always digs into me that's, you know, something that, you know, we can all do. So.
Yeah, and then one of the other things she said is, you know, don't lose that connection. We're talking about old school. So, you know, being a mentor, it's so easy for us to, for me to text you or email you rather than call you or, you know, actually have a conversation with you in person. And then we just lose that connection. It's harder to do that. So,
yeah, that is true.
All right, Jace, who are three people you would like to say thank you to and why?
Well, you know, I'm going to lump my parents all into one group as one person. You know, they always supported me and what I was doing with schools. You know, being I forgot to mention, my sister is a year older than I am, and we both kind of got into the student athletic trainer gig at the same time. She took care of the girls. I took care of the boys at Edward City until she graduated. Then I had them all by myself. So my parents, you know, they were supportive of us. We'd look back in the stands on a Tuesday or a Friday night, and they were there. And, you know, it wasn't their kids playing, but it was their kids that were there. So they were there supporting us, late practices, early mornings, holidays, you know, all the stuff that goes into this profession. And not once did they not support us, you know, taking us to camps over the summers. You know, it was a good deal for them to be there and be supportive, and still to this day. I mean, you know, obviously we're adults now, but they're very, very supportive of what I do. You know, my wife, Deidre Duke, who's also an athletic trainer, you know, she's, you know, I tell her every day she's the best athletic trainer I know, and I'm lucky to have her support and be there for me and in my career and things that we're doing and you know, raising our daughter. You know, and then the last one, I'm gonna throw a bunch of people into the last one. I know you said three, but you know, every coach and athletic trainer that I've ever had the opportunity to work with or work for, you know, and got to meet and be, you know, friends with and colleagues and things like that, we always learn something from everybody. You know, the worst boss you ever have, you can learn something from them. The worst athletic trainer on the planet, you can learn something from them. It may be how not to do something. You know, it may be, you know, something that they do that you say, you know what, that's really good. They stink at everything else, but that's really good. You know, so, you know, I've always tried to take a piece, you know, from everybody, you know, and build and make the person that I am. But, you know, I have so many people that have influenced me that over the years that I would do a disservice if I was trying to name them besides, you know, like I say, my parents and Deidre.
All right. Well, Jace, thank you for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, the Listener Spotlight Series. Thank you for being a leader in athletic training in our Houston community. So, and just sharing your knowledge with us and being a mentor to lots of other athletic trainers. So, Jace, I thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, and thank you for the show and the broadcast. I know that's a great thing to advance our profession and have this show done so people can see it, and what you're doing with your students is awesome over there at Pasadena.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.